Hello, welcome back to Heritage Radio Network on Tour. My name is Kat Johnson. I am with HRN. We are a food podcast network based in Bushwick, Brooklyn. But this weekend, we are here in Denver, Colorado for Slow Food Nations. I want to thank Slow Food USA, Hearst Ranch, the Big Green Egg, and the Julia Child Foundation for Gastronomy and the Culinary Arts for making our trip to Denver possible. We have just been having some of the most interesting and inspiring conversations while we've been here, and I'm excited to keep that going because I have two guests that are based here in Denver, one very newly based in Denver, who just left Brooklyn. So we did not meet in Brooklyn. We met here in Denver, but I'm so excited to hear about your journey. Arden Lewis, he's the executive chef of Kamal Heritage Food Incubator. Welcome.
Thank you. Hello.
And then we also have Erica Rojas, who is a former participant in the Kamal Heritage Food Incubator. So we're going to get some real insight into how this organization works. Welcome, Erica.
Thank you.
So, Arden, why don't we just start off, for people who are unfamiliar, what is Kamal Heritage Food Incubator?
Well, Kamal Heritage Food Incubator is a community-based organization, truly that. Started with some women in the community over in the Globeville, Elyria, Swansea area. And it is under the umbrella of Focus Points Family Resource Center. And we provide an economic springboard, basically, for immigrant and refugee women to want to start their own food businesses, like Erica over here. So that being said, it's like an earn while you learn environment where you learn how to take what you know. Most of the women here are cooking way better than I did before I even started cooking. So they're like many steps ahead of me right now. And we take their natural talent and kind of translate that into the commercial business of whether it's catering or a restaurant. And we take it from there.
And people can go eat there.
Exactly. So we have a lunch service from Monday to Friday, 11 to 2. And we focus right now on Mexican and Middle Eastern cuisine. We do Mexican 11 to 2, Monday to Thursday, and then Middle Eastern on Fridays. And it changes because we our staff changes throughout the day, and we have rotation of cycles, so graduating from level to level. And depending on who's leading, you'll get a different Mexican special on a Monday versus a Wednesday. And you'll taste the nuances from the different regions of Mexico as well. Like we have Erica here from Guadalajara, and we also have some participants who are from Mexico City, Durango, and Puerto Vallarta. So we get different flavors of Mexico, and we have some, in the Middle Eastern side, we have some Syrian cooks and Iraqi cooks as well.
Amazing. So Erica, and I do want to mention that Erica's daughter Fatima is here, so if...
Hi, Fatima.
Hi.
Hello, Fatima. Hi. If Erica wants to answer in Spanish, Fatima will help us translate. Totally your call. So tell us about the food that you cook from the region that you're from and the type of food that you would serve at Kamal.
Yo cocino comida mexicana, típica mexicana. La cocino en Comal para eventos y también para... Ya tengo mi propio negocio. Soy de las primeras graduadas de Comal. Mi especialidad es la birria porque soy de Jalisco. La birria es de Jalisco. Es carne de res cocinada muy despacio con especies.
I cook food from Guadalajara. I work for Comal, and my specialty is birria because I'm from Guadalajara. That's something we're really good at. You slow cook the meat, and you add a special sauce to it.
Ooh. What is birria?
Es carne de... Yo la cocino con carne de res. Ayer la cocinamos aquí para...
De borrego.
De borrego. pero en sí la birria es una salsa con tomates, chiles y especies. Y cualquier tipo de carne se puede usar y se cocina muy despacio.
Despacio, sí.
Despacio. I like to use beef, but yesterday for the Slow Foods Nation event, we used lamb. It tastes just as good, but you use a lot of different spices and you cook it really slowly for it to come out really juicy and good.
Yeah.
I'm hungry.
Yeah, it was delicious. It was absolutely delicious.
What that was for the Slow Food Nations event yesterday.
The Food Over Fire.
Food Over Fire with a little bit of rain.
Food Under Rain.
Erica, tell me about, you have a food truck as well?
Sí. Yo comencé antes de graduarme con Comal con mi compañía de catering. Y ahora ya tenemos un food truck. Tenemos un mes trabajando.
Yeah, I have a food truck. I had it before I graduated from Comal, and now we've been working on it. I've had it for like a month now that we're actually starting with the business.
Mm-hmm. And what's the name of your business?
It's Prietos Catering.
So, Arden, thinking of this kind of as a template for how women work with Comal and then they graduate, tell me a little bit about like what that path is like.
So, initially, you come in and everyone starts at the porter position, right? So it's the foundation of any restaurant, any food business. It's the organization is key. So they go through that, and then from there, we move on to a prep cook position. So we test out of that. We have a curriculum for that. And once you test out of it, and it's not as intense as like a culinary school, mm-hmm. because the idea is that we want you to succeed, and we're paying you, you're not paying us. So it's a matter of you learn at your pace. It's very customized. So it's not like after 3 months you must pass. If you don't pass, then you're out. It's a very forgiving and customizable program. So once you test out of it, we go into the prep position. You learn some basic kitchen skills, knife skills, different terms. And while it's a very multicultural environment, it's part of the testing is learning the key phrases in English, right? So learning the things that you need to know to succeed in the business outside of Comal in English, but we're not forcing you to learn English to converse, right? Mm-hmm. It's more about the business. It's business English, and in this instance, it's food. And so once you test out of that, we have a line cook position, which is similar to like a lead line cook position, where you start learning about creating the specials and leading the line for the lunch service. And then after that, we move into the catering portion of the business, where you learn how to kind of stand on your own and start your own business. And you learn about the costing and the hiring and the labor and the food purchasing and all the things that go along with that. And my role coming into this as executive chef in the confines of this program, it's more of a facilitator, motivator, and educator as opposed to an executive chef. Because as I said, the participants, they already have a natural ability. They can cook the food. They've been cooking it longer than I can even imagine right now. So it's more of translating that and scaling it up into a commercial business. And my goal is to kind of expand and expand the curriculum itself and make it a bit more customizable for everybody. So I want to, you know, increase the amount of learning experiences within the restaurant industry. So if we're talking about, we're doing lunch, then we're talking about, you know, what it means to be a porter, but also what it means to organize the kitchen in a way that it works well for the cooks, right? And then once you become a cook, it's like, how do I measure this? What is a measurement, quart versus pint versus gram versus milliliter? What do all those things mean? And how can I translate that into making it the most cost-effective menu and also most profitable menu for the participant? So when we get more into the business side of things, I want to get more into the business side of things. We've got the cooking, we've got the creative aspect down, the culinary arts down, but I want to get more into the business side and kind of grow that part of the curriculum. And then kind of, expand everyone's experiences with creativity. Mm-hmm. So I find that, you know, the more, and you can agree or disagree, but the more you start cooking is the more you want to learn more, right? And the more you want to experience more than what you know. It's how we get better as chefs, how we get better as cooks is kind of getting out of your comfort zone and then mastering that. Mm-hmm. And then you find a new comfort zone that you're not familiar with and try to master that as well. It's the only way that this career is exciting, at least for me personally, is to learn something new every day. And I want to bring that to Comal as well.
Erica, when you first came into Comal, what are one or two skills that you wanted to learn?
Yo pensaba que iba a aprender solo a cocinar, pero aprendí a manejar mi negocio. Yo en Comal tuve la oportunidad de equivocarme, aprender equivocándome. Ahí me puedo equivocar. Yo no sabía nada de... Sabía cocinar. Yo ya lo sabía hacer, pero no sabía cómo, por ejemplo, acerca de lo de las licencias, los permisos, los desinfectantes... y todo eso yo lo aprendí ahí y aprendí varias maneras también de cocinar las cosas. Yo ya sabía hacerlas de una manera, aprendí unas diferentes, ya las complementé un poquito y salió bien, me gustó.
Going into Comal, I thought I was only going to learn how to cook, but I actually learned how to run a business. I learned things such as how to get licenses, to get your permits, sanitizers, how those work in different businesses. I did learn how to cook a lot of new things from different cultures, and I enhanced my cooking skills. So I've learned quite a lot.
También otra cosa importante que para mí es bien importante, el manejo de los alimentos, cómo mantener limpia, cómo mantener segura la comida. Yo no sabía muchas reglas de salubridad y las aprendí ahí. Y ahora me sirven para mi negocio.
I also learned a lot of the rules for business, the different things that you need to follow with health.
Department of Health.
Yeah.
It's very different.
I mean, those are the things that are really hard to navigate as any business owner, but especially if you are, an immigrant, and you don't speak English as your native language. I can only imagine. So are there resources, too, that Kamal provides after graduating if questions like that come up with the health department or something like that?
Actually, yeah. We are quite frequently in contact with Erica particularly, but also with other graduates as well, just to help them launch their business, right? So Erica may have a question about licensing, permit, maybe about expanding, maybe about costing. We have our general manager, Matt Vernon, who is our financial guru, mm-hmm. who definitely helps out with that. And then we also have another participant who's looking to branch out and open her own restaurant here in the downtown area. And we're helping her with helping her facilitate the real estate transaction and also the business plan. So we're there as a resource after mm-hmm. we graduate. We also provide grants for a startup costing. So as a goal, part of our mission is to reach out to people so everyone can know about it, because it is a non-for-profit. It is a not-for-profit. It is a social enterprise, though, that is structured like a for-profit, but it still is a non-profit. So we do still rely on the community to help us out. And they have. They've come through a grant for Erica after she graduates to help her get her business going. And we plan to expand that and keep growing as well.
It is a very different model from a traditional restaurant.
Yeah.
But if you could pick one or two things that are happening at Kamal that you think every restaurant should implement, what would that be?
I think taking into account it's the opinion of its participants, or in the case of a restaurant, or even a culinary school, it's students and workers. Part of what makes Kamal a success is that it's not just, the rule of the law coming down from above. And, it did start from the women in the community. They came to the Resource Center and said, hey, we want you to help us start our business. And that's how Kamal started, right? It was like, how can we help you start a business and still have that community-based environment? Well, we have a restaurant, but we still keep it community based, and we frequently ask for feedback. We have community roundtables at least once a month with the participants and go over what's working well with Kamal, what's not working well with Kamal, what would you love to see happen with Kamal, and then we go from there and we kind of implement what we hear and try and see if it aligns with the long-term, short-term goals of Kamal. But the input of the people that make the actual business, the building possible, the workers, the students, the cooks, from the bottom to the top, or in our case in Kamal, everyone, it's a pretty flat organization. So there is no bottom, there is no top. It's just you're in the program and then you're out of the program. But even when you're out of the program, you're still part of Kamal, So I think the idea of having a flat hierarchy with a hierarchy of learning instead, could be beneficial to a lot of organizations, because the people who are in the trenches, they have a different perspective than the manager who's not in the trenches. Whether or not, like myself, I've been in the trenches, but I'm not there now. And so times change, things change, and people have different personalities. I think relying on their input is quite valuable for a successful business, because employees come first, no matter what. If you have unhappy employees, if you have employees who are not feeling fulfilled, then you don't have a business that's going to succeed because you don't have a structure in place to help that business succeed. You have just workers, you know, and what you want are people who have a stake in the business.
And Erica, similar question for you. What are things about Kamal that you're taking into your new businesses?
Yo pienso que Kamal funciona porque las personas que trabajamos ahí tenemos pasión por lo que hacemos, y yo creo que todos los restaurantes deberían de tener personas que hagan su trabajo con muchas ganas, y todo sale perfecto. Yo siento que todas las mujeres de Kamal tienen esa pasión por cocinar.
I think one thing that I brought with me is my passion to cook. I think that Kamal is really good at hiring people who love what they're doing and are really passionate about cooking. So I think every restaurant should have people like that in their work environment. And that's what I brought.
Fatima, do you work with your mom?
Yeah, every once in a while.
What do you work with at the food truck with your mom?
Yes.
Tell me more about the food truck and like what you do in working with your mom.
Well, I almost don't really go in there. I'm not like my mom. I don't really like to cook. But when she needs help, like getting food, whenever they run out, I'm the one that goes and buys that for her. Mm-hmm. So we go to my grandpa's carniceria. That's just...
cosas de la computadora.
Yeah, I also help her make menus and stuff for her catering. Well, in the food truck, when I do help out in there, it's just mainly cooking vegetables, making sure everything is stocked up outside for the tacos. Going to buy sodas whenever they run out or drinks, making sure everything is stocked up is just what I do, basically.
And you don't like to cook, but like, what are your favorite things that your mom makes?
Oh, I love everything. I love all my mom's food. I really like something that's called mole.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, mole. I love her mole. Yeah.
Tell me about the mole, because mole, there's so many different types, but what is your mole like?
Mi mole, yo lo hago, sé cómo es en inglés, pero no en español. Lo hago desde todo, cocino los chiles, los muelo, todas las especies, las cocino juntas. Después las licuo y se hace una mezcla, pues es el mole, es muy diferente al que venden en muchos lugares. Y tú le puedes dar el sabor que quieras. A mí me gusta un poco salado, un poco dulce, un poco picoso. Sí, que tenga los tres sabores combinados y queda muy rico, con pollo.
She uses chicken to make it, and she likes to grind up her peppers and her spices all at once to make the flavor that she wants. You can make it any way that you like, but the way she likes to make it, just using grinding it all together and putting it with the chicken, it tastes really good. It doesn't taste like anything that you find at the stores. Because like most of the time it's sweet. My mom's is not sweet. It's really good. It's not bitter. It's like the perfect mix, the balance. It's really delicious.
Do you use cocoa in it at all?
Huh?
Cocoa?
Or
cocoa.
Chocolate.
Chocolate?
Yes.
Yes.
Chocolate, sí.
But bitter, like not sweet chocolate.
No, le pongo, sí es dulce el chocolate. Eso es lo que le da, pero no se le pone mucho. Se le pone un poco para que tenga ese sabor. Un poco dulce, un poco salado y un poco spicy.
So she does use a chocolate in there, but she doesn't use a lot. She uses very, very, very little, and she balances it out with other spices to make sure that it's balanced and not super sweet.
How long does it cook for?
Oh, yo soy muy rápida para cocinar. Quizás unos 30 minutos.
30 minutes.
Oh.
Yeah, she's really fast.
That's awesome. I love a quick mole.
Yeah, right.
Instant gratification. So Arden, I want to talk a little bit more about your path. You've only been in Denver for what, four or five months?
Yeah, about 4 or 5 months, yeah.
And you were in Brooklyn, and
I was.
We were just talking and realized that I knew exactly where your catering business was. It was in Greenpoint, where Three's Brewing is now located.
Yeah, we used to be neighbors.
That's amazing. And you haven't made it to our station in Bushwick yet, but next time you're visiting, you better.
I will.
So tell me about the move from Brooklyn to Denver, how it's been, and then how you very quickly got involved in Kamal.
Oh, well, it's... You might call it kismet. I don't know. I knew I was moving out here since earlier this year for my girlfriend. She started school out here like back in August for getting a master's in social work. And so I knew I was coming out here, and I was just phasing out of my last position. And in that process, she sent me a notice from Focus Points Family Resource. So that's the first time, back in like February. It's the first time I heard about Komal. She was like, this is a place that I think you would enjoy. I was just at a place where I was moving on. And so when you're moving on and you try to figure out, what can I do that's different? What can I do that'll teach me, as opposed to like just, you know, grinding? I wanted to do something for my personal betterment. And so when she sent me that, I was like, wow, this sounds amazing. I had no idea when I was going to move, so I didn't really pursue anything. I came out here in end of March, and I figured I needed a little break. So I took about 2 months and just soaked up the Denver sun and sometimes hail. But after a while, I saw that Komal was hiring. And I was like, this is too good to be true, because I knew about this place, and I might have been stalking them. So that's how I knew that they were posting a job. So I immediately posted the job and went in for an interview. And it was just a good match. Their vision aligned with what I was looking for. I was really looking for something where I would be learning more than I would be giving. And so while I am giving a lot, don't get me wrong, I do feel that I'm learning so much from the participants. Even in the case of like things like the mole, you know, I'm used to like mole being one way, sweet, right? And sweet with like nuts and chocolate, raisins, and that's not necessarily true. And I'm learning that within Mexico, you know, like Mexican food out here is different from Mexican food that I've had in New York. Most of the cooks that I've dealt with in work with in New York are from the Puebla region. And I'm yet to meet one participant from the Puebla region. It's been like Durango, right. Right. Jalisco. Mm-hmm. It's been you know, Puerto Vallarta. It's been Oaxaca. I haven't yet to see that style of food. And I gotta say, it is different. The different nuances, the amount of the differences in the chilies, and why you use this chili versus that chili for the color, for the flavor, for the spice. Learning a lot about that. And so, coming to Komal, I see the amount of raw talent that's there. I'm excited to teach, because one of the things I learned just in my trajectory in my career is that as a manager, you're really a teacher, right? If you're an effective manager, you're really teaching people, and you're also learning from them as well. It's what a good leader is, really good at listening to the people that they're leading and taking that information and helping them and push them along with their goals. And this is like the perfect format for me to kind of perfect that skill. And that's the reason why I feel like I'm a good fit with Komal, and why Kamal's a good fit for me. Just learning all those things and kind of expanding our horizons and educating the masses on the different cultures that are out there, the different immigrant and refugee populations that are out there. It's not only about the cuisine, but it's also about enlightening people as to the people that are cooking this cuisine, kind of humanizing people, as opposed to the opposite, especially in this climate. I think it's important for people to understand that, like, we have similarities, we have differences. The ethnic biases within cuisine, I like to tear those walls down so that people see that, you know, Mexican, Middle Eastern food is it takes us just as much talent, takes just as much perseverance and work ethic to cook those cuisines as any other cuisine. It doesn't make any difference. You shouldn't expect a lower price point for a certain cuisine based on its ethnic background. And I feel that, like, I made my first tortilla working, yeah, it was intense. It wouldn't work out too well for me, but like, I made my first tortilla, and I was surprised at how difficult it was. While the
Erica's laughing, she's like, yeah,
it's so difficult. Like, I was just like, I couldn't get it to fall flat on the plancha for anything. And it was very humbling, because it's you have an ingredient where the ingredient itself may be at a low price, but the amount of labor that goes into it, the amount of talent that goes into it, and to push to make fresh tortillas really fast for a line of people takes a special talent and a special amount of labor that costs money. And I think that the monetary value of that should be appreciated by the masses. And I think that being able to promote that and put that out there, and kind of equalizing the playing field for everybody is what I hope to achieve at Comal and why I'm there.
That's amazing. One other question. You did the event last night here at Slow Food Nations. Do you have other events coming up today?
Me in particular, I do not, but one of our graduates is actually doing a workshop on Injera. So we had an Ethiopian contingent as well that we had at Comal, and one of our participants, Gannett, she's teaching people how to make Injera, the spongy, gluten-free Ethiopian flatbread.
This interview, more than any other, has just made me so hungry.
Right?
Talking about all the foods I love.
This is every day for me.
Ugh.
Every day I'm hungry.
I think I don't know. I love Brooklyn, but I think you're on to something by moving out here to Denver.
Not me, they are. I'm along for the ride.
You're in the right place, though.
Yeah.
You're around all these incredible people. So you've mentioned the lunch service at Comal.
Right.
Where can people learn more about it? Where can they visit it in person in Denver, and where can they go online to learn more about
you? So Comal, it's Comal Heritage Food Incubator, and we have a Facebook page. We post our menus. Our address is 3455 Ringsby Court. It's in the Taxi Building, Suite 105, right across the Platte River. If you look directly across from the Source Hotel, you can see the Taxi Buildings. We're right in there. We're open Monday to Friday, 11 to 2 p.m. for lunch. We are also available anytime you want, 7 days a week, for catering as well. All of our catering is done by our participants in the program. And they create their own menus with their own specialties. We sit down with them and get the menus going for them. So whether or not you want Middle Eastern or Mexican food right now, we are looking into expanding that. You will have a wide variety of choices to choose from.
Incredible. And Erica, where can we find information about your food truck, and where can people go to eat your food?
Por ahorita solamente tenemos página de Facebook. Vamos a comenzar a hacer nuestra página web porque ya vamos a tener un lugar en específico donde vender.
Right now we only have a Facebook page for Prietos Catering. It's called Prietos Catering, and we're going to start working on a website just because we now have like a location where we're going to be standing that we can put online. So,
por ahora estamos en vendiendo en Denver todos los fines de semana en el 2175 Bryant Street.
Right now we're just selling in Denver on Fridays.
2175
Bryant Street.
And what was the name of the catering company again?
Prietos Catering.
Prietos.
Yes.
Prietos
Catering. P-R-I-E-T-O.
We'll make sure you put this in the episode notes too, so
awesome.
People can find them. Fatima, thank you so much for coming on and talking and help and translating a little bit for us.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. And Erica, thank you so much for telling us about your story and about your work with Comal and all of your exciting food business ventures.
No, gracias por la invitación aquí.
Thank you for the invite.
Yeah. And Arden, thank you so much for coming on and telling us about your move to Denver, your very exciting move to Denver, and your work with Comal Heritage
thank
Food
you.
Incubator.
Thank you very much. Any chance I can get to talk about these ladies, I will.
Absolutely. Once again, I'm Kat Johnson for Heritage Radio Network. We're here at Slow Food Nations in Denver, Colorado. Thanks to Hearst Ranch, Big Green Egg, and the Julia Child Foundation for Gastronomy and the Culinary Arts for making our coverage of Slow Food Nations possible. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few minutes with more interviews.
Awesome. Thank you.